Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation by Pastor Mark Copeland is entitled Unified in Love. Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut.
For our Old Testament reading, we'll turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 15. We'll go through verses 7 and 11. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work, in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. We'll get into the sermon. I have two texts that I used to build this sermon this week. So there's actually two New Testament readings there, and we'll go through them. The first one I want to read first is from 1 John chapter 4. It's actually going to be verses 7 through 21, last minute change. But worry not, because I shortened the Luke passage. So we're just trading one for the other. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. If you're using your pew Bibles, it starts on page 1902. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Turning now to Luke 6, we're going to go from Luke chapter 6, verses 27, actually about 36. It's on page 1601, if we're using your pew Bibles. And this is from the words of Jesus. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him, the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So coming up with this week's sermon, the title is Unified in Love. And actually, if you do like one of those keyword searches, you'll find just the New Testament and even the Old Testament just saturated in that concept, love, right? So when we're thinking about Jesus' ministry, being unified in love, when we receive Christ, we get his spirit, and it's a spirit of love for caring for one another. Now, if you look at the calendar, this calendar, you have Epiphany Sunday, and you kind of look at his baptism, and right before Lent, it's really called the Epiphany season, and if you follow the calendar when developing your lessons, this time of the year is really when we focus on the early ministry of Jesus, that Jesus was sent by the Father for us. And we focus on what he did. In 1 John, in that chapter, it talks about Jesus being sent as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, for humanity. He's the Savior of the world. And there's two parts of that. We do focus on the cross, and that's very important. We're Easter, we're going to come up on Lent and Good Friday in the cross. But that's oftentimes in more academic circles called the passive obedience of Jesus. That's when stuff happened to him, like he paid for my sin, right? Mine personally. We nailed him, the world, to the cross, and he was that perfect sacrifice. But there's that ministry part, his life. When he entered, he was baptized and he entered into his ministry. And this time period sometimes is called the active obedience of Christ. And we need both. Remember, Jesus told the Pharisees and he told his disciples that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And he shows us how he fulfills the law. When the Pharisee asked Jesus, what's the greatest of the commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he showed us how to do that in his early ministry. In early ministry, think before he enters Jerusalem. So he's in Samaria, he's in Judea, and he's loving his neighbor, and he's serving the Father, he's serving God. And he's doing more than just showing us how to do that. He is actively fulfilling that law. So you know, there's an exchange. We put our sins on Christ, and he gives us his righteousness. That's why none of the righteousness comes from us. It's all Jesus. When we hear people say, it's all Jesus, that's what they mean. It's all Jesus. He fulfills the law, but he does give us this ideal to strive for, right? In the education world, well, before I entered into the ministry, I was a history teacher, and in the education world, we call this modeling, right? He's showing us how we're supposed to behave around people. He's modeling that behavior for us. So he's a great teacher, but he's also actively fulfilling the law. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Think 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It is impossible to love God and to hate your brother. We can change that word into hate your neighbor, or to hate people. You cannot hate people and love God. Think about what God did for sinful humanity. He sent his only son. He comes in flesh to fulfill the law and suffer on our behalf, to take all of that judgment so that we can be in communion with him, the world can be reconciled with him. And he did it. It's not like people aren't, you know, less nice today than they were in the Roman Empire. They were just as corrupt back then. You do any sort of study of the Roman Empire, those Caesars were terrible people. Right? And yet, God sends an olive branch, a peace offering, and he's the one that initiated it. Right? He sends Jesus. Jesus shows us what love is as an active fulfillment of the law. And he says, you know, do likewise. Okay? It can be hard because sin is such a terrible thing. And sin's not really arbitrary either. I mean, sin hurts people. When we sin, it hurts other people and it hardens people. And then you just get this web of damage. Whether it's a little lie, you know, you tell a little lie, it breaks trust. It hurts people. Okay? If I'm working for my employer and I steal time off the time clock, I'm untrustworthy. Right? It damages reputations. It hurts people. Sin, this should grieve us. So when we look around the world around us, if we're filled with the Spirit, the sin should really grieve us. It shouldn't be like we're good, they're not, because we've got it figured out. It should just make us sad, because that's not the attitude God had. And I'll get into, so that's like the first point. I'll get into the second point, where it says, yeah, it's easy to love one another, right? We love each other. It's easy to care for one another. That's not what Jesus says. We get into Luke chapter 6. He says, love your enemies, right? That includes when you're behind the wheel of a car, right? That includes people that might disagree with you politically. Love your enemies. And Jesus had plenty of them. And he showed us what it was like to love them. They crucified him. So you go into Ephesians chapter 1. Before we were saved, we're actually counted as enemies of God. And yet God sent Jesus to reconcile us to him. That's what it means to love. And it is a difficult ideal. I'll jump back to that later. But really reflect on that. Because we are stuck in a worldly system. It's a system of us versus them, different tribes. But that's not the kingdom of God. We're a multitude of nations and groups of people coming together as one to love one another. And now I'm going to get to the second point, is we don't get to choose who gets saved. That's beyond my pay grade. When I was in the Army, we used to have, we would say, that's beyond my pay grade. Okay, I know other people say that too, but pay grade, that means that I don't get to make that decision, so it's not my responsibility, right? I do have a responsibility or a calling to share the gospel with all kinds of people, but I don't get to decide who actually gets saved, who receives Christ, who receives Jesus. And it just reminds me, I was working with a nice lady. She was a missionary. We were both camp counselors together. And like I said, she was a missionary. And when she graduated school, she said, I'll go anywhere, Lord, but Germany. don't send me to Germany. And guess where God sent her? She went to Germany. It actually reminds me of this other fellow. He's one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. I actually call him the most successful prophet in the Old Testament, because I think he was. He got a VeggieTales episode about him. His name is Jonah. Jonah was called to give the message of grace to folks in Nineveh. And being an Israelite and constantly at war with Assyria or the Ninevites, he didn't think that they deserved the message. And so he told God no. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he went the other direction. He went to Tarshish, which was actually, if you look at the map, it's all the way in Spain. So what God did was he used this miracle. He swallowed him up in a fish, and then he spit him out on the shores of Assyria, and he said, go to Nineveh. This is your second chance. Go to Nineveh. Preach the message of repentance. And that's all he had to do. That was his responsibility. And he did it. He did it the second time. And it was successful. They repented. The Ninevites repented, and they started worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it should have been this feeling of jubilee. I just kind of imagine Jonah, like if Isaiah or Jeremiah would have experienced anything like that. You know, because they didn't get to experience something like that. Jonah went to preach to a foreign nation. They were Gentiles, and they repented. And his attitude was, darn it, they repented. I really wanted to see them destroyed. And so what did he do? He went on top of a mountain, and he pouted, and he sulked. And he was there long enough that God saw fit to give him a covering with a plant. A plant grew so he could have shade. So God was even merciful to Jonah. He said, well, while you're trying to figure out your business and learn your lesson, I'll give you some shade. And the plant fell over. You know, I don't think it says how it did in the Old Testament, but in VeggieTales, the caterpillar ate it. And Jonah openly wept for the plant that he lost his shade. And God said, Jonah, you cared more about the plant than you did the entire people of Nineveh. I still think he's one of the most successful, if not the most successful prophet in the Old Testament, because he preached a message and he had national repentance. But he didn't learn his lesson. That's why the book of Jonah sort of, it ends in the parable. Jonah didn't learn his lesson. Are we going to learn his lesson? Jesus says, love your enemies. We don't get to decide who's saved. We don't get to decide who responds to the message. So we have to give it without prejudice. We count our enemies, and you'll be surprised out of who those enemies are become allies or brothers and sisters. Because that's the work of the Spirit. God's the one who sends Jonah. God sends us. God sent Jesus. You can't help but think of one of the most famous verses when we talk about being unified in love. It's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him has life everlasting, or will not perish, has life everlasting. So anyone who believes, all of the believing ones, whosoever. So it really is, when we talk about, because the past couple weeks we have talked about just caring for one another, right? So being unified in love, modeling Jesus' early ministry on what he did, we have to care for humanity. When I look at another human being, you're looking at the image of God. It doesn't just say, I'm the only one made in the image of God, or we're the only one made in the image of God. Everyone is made in the image of God. You cannot both love God and hate your brother. So, as much as it grieves God that people won't accept him, some people, maybe they can't, they won't. The message, some places, falls to deaf ears. But that doesn't mean he gives up, right? Or that we give up as his hands and feet as the church. So the third point, kind of thinking through this as a third point, I just looked at one of the things that really attracted me to accepting this call was the church's mission statement, the congregation's mission statement. Now I wonder, how many folks know our mission statement? But it was right up there up front on the profile. We aim to respond to God as disciples of Jesus Christ in unity to minister to each other, our community, and to all of humanity. And that's all of humanity. It does start with us. Like if we can't get the church, right? It does start with us. If we have infighting and we can't get our business together, why would anybody look towards our direction for answers? So I'm not going to say we have the answers. We point to the one who does have the answers. But in the church, if you see all of this infighting and bickering, and I'm not talking about just within a congregation, but I'm also talking about with interdenominational, right? Why would they can get that in the world? If I work at Target, I could go to war with Walmart. It's the same thing, right? But we're different. So if we claim to point to the one that has the answer, it does start with us taking care of each other and working together, not just as Baptists, but as Christians, right? Keeping our distinctive tradition, but also working with other Christians with the common goal. If we don't, so ministering to each other, ministering to the community, we're the light. We'll find other places where Jesus was the light. In John's gospel, it says, you know, pretty plainly, Jesus is the light that shined in the darkness, right? And we're to model that. We're a light within our community, which means light attracts things. People will be drawn. You use that. God uses that light to draw people to him. Okay? So that's ministering to our community and ministering to all humanity. That's doing it without prejudice or forethought. Or if I don't think these people deserve the message. Or I don't want to give these people the message, right? So learn Jonah's lesson, right? We should learn Jonah's lesson. And that's actually not unique. I'm not immune from that too. I'm rather embarrassed. When I first went into ministry, I lived in Fairfield, and 20 miles away was a town called Ottumwa, and I didn't like Ottumwa. And I said, I just don't want to serve in Ottumwa. And guess where I went? I went to Ottumwa. God said, no, you're going to be the principal of the Ottumwa Christian School. You're going to do pulpit supply in the First Baptist of Ottumwa. So it's interesting how God works, because he will take those prejudices away. And we just, our side of it, we got to be open to it, right? Learn Jonah's lesson. And so I would say, just for application, you're thinking about it, really focus on, reflect on the words of Jesus to love your enemy, because that is hard, because sin hardens, right? Especially if you were hurt, someone sinned against you. You can be smart without hardening your heart, right? It's a whole nother sermon, but forgiveness is really for you and not the other person, okay? Because that sin can really harden people. Jonah was hardened against the Ninevites, probably because they did some terrible stuff to him. But they repented, right? And so that's the part is, keep that mission statement in mind, and we can't use it as like a tool or a bludgeon against each other, like, Jacob down there, you're just not loving people enough. No, it's an ideal that we're all striving for, because the only one perfect is Jesus. He's the model or the ideal we're going after, and our job is to help each other get there, right, with the Spirit. So you use it to guide, to help, in some ways to comfort, because especially when you get into like sort of the counseling field, when sin has really done some damage to people, just this brokenness, because we do live in a broken and corrupt world, and it'll be like that until Jesus returns. But we have each other, and we're the light, and God wants us to reach out to humanity. So just kind of think of those objectives. Are we on the right path? Right? That's not really my job to say. That's a together job. We'll end the message in a prayer. Father, we ask you again for unity, and we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you're gracious and merciful enough to, though we were sinners, that you sent your only Son to reconcile us to you. And give us, Lord, give us the strength and show us the way to be able to love people the way you love people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation by Pastor Mark Copeland was entitled Unified in Love. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.